Well, good morning, everyone. As you can see, Mr. Tom is back with us today. And just for his return, we got him a COVID area there. So he is germ-free right now. Anyway, let's stand if it's convenient for you. And hello to the other side over there. Y'all stand if it's convenient as well. I'm going to sing the national anthem of the Christians, We Believe. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. All is dark, you help us see. There is only one foundation. We believe. We believe. We believe in the Father. We believe in the Holy Spirit.
Everybody, we have an exciting announcement. We are starting back up on Wednesday night with children, And we have an exciting curriculum, and it's going to be at 7 o'clock. There will not be any snacks, so if the children will come prepared for that. But we're going to have a great time from 7 to 8 on Wednesday nights. Thank you.
Lord, we have something on the...
In the back, there are some little pamphlets like this. It is from Mission Dignity, and this is an offering that goes to the widows and widowers that used to be like pastors. And so this is a great opportunity for us to support these people. These are like people like my grandparents. My grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher, and I have ones beyond him in my family. And so this all this donation goes to them to support them. So this is like near and dear to my heart, and I love this. And I have the video somewhere. I promise I'll find it. We'll watch it in the next Sunday or two. But you can either fill out the part in here and mail it in yourself, or you can put it in the offering plate and just designate on it, right, Brother Lenny? And we'll get it to the right spot. Or you can give it to Miss Pam. So, but everybody just take one of these and read and just pray about it. And if you feel led to give, then that's awesome. And or just your prayers would be great as well. So thanks.
Okay, we are going to start this Wednesday, and it is for grades, I believe, preschool through sixth grade. Yes. Sorry, I left that on.
Okay. We're having an adult Bible study on Wednesday night. Here in the auditorium, and you're certainly welcome to come to that. It starts at 7 o'clock each Wednesday night. We're doing a study in the book of Acts, and we'd like for you to come and be a part of that. And, of course, Sunday evening service is wide open. You'll be able to social distance and sit in the auditorium on Sunday night, so and that starts at 6, so we'd love to have you for that service also. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. What a privilege it is for us to be able to meet, to be able to fellowship together, to just be able to see one another's faces and to know the support that we're giving one another. And Lord, that we'd be obedient to your command of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And Lord, as we look forward to your coming, we just pray, God, that you would bless. We give this service into your hands. We pray for the time of music, the time of preaching, that you would anoint. Open our hearts, Lord, to your word for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, if it's convenient for you again, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing I Stand Amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Save.
God with us. Emmanuel. That you would be mindful of us. What do you see that's worth looking our way? We are free in ways that we never should be. Faithful God was to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, so many people, and he's faithful still today. Faithful now. I am holding on to faith, 'cause I know you'll make a way. I don't always understand, and I don't always get to see, but I will believe it, I will believe it. You make mountains move, you make giants fall. Songs of praise to shake prison walls, and I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then, you'll be faithful now. I am standing on your word, calling heaven down to earth. You will fight my enemies, and this will end in victory. And I will believe it, yes, I will believe it, 'cause you make mountains move, you make giants fall. Songs of praise to shake prison walls, and I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then, you'll be faithful now, you'll be faithful then, you'll be faithful now. And I know that I know you never fail. Shake prison walls, and I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful there, you'll be faithful now, that you were faithful there, you'll be faithful now. You make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison.
Over these next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching through the book of Acts. And also on Wednesday night, I'm teaching on Wednesday night through the book of Acts. One of the things that I really do want us to get a grip on is what the King James Scripture calls the baptism of the Spirit. Some other translations use the word the filling of the Spirit. And sometimes King James uses the word filled. The word baptism is really a good word for that if you understand immersion baptism. If you think about a sprinkling, it wouldn't be a very good word. But if you think about the immersion baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a great word. Because when you think about someone being baptized, we as Baptists believe in immersion baptism, and so the individual is when the individual is baptized, they're put completely under the water, and the water covers them. When I'm having my little class with them to tell them what we're going to do in the baptism, I usually have the candidate to stand in front of me. We'll be in my office, and I'll have the I can't always sit still. Have the candidate to stand, and I like to run the aisles, really. I would, if I had my way, that's what I'd be doing. But I stand the candidate in front of me, and I'll say, let's say that this is the congregation here in front of you, and you're standing, you're facing the wall here, and I stand them in front of me, and I said, this represents a watery grave, a watery burial. And so as I give them instructions about what to do, give the candidate instructions about what to do, I said, because it represents a burial, I'm going to ask you to put your hands across your chest like this. If you're not afraid of water or anything like that, we're not going to have some kind of struggle whenever we start down. Put your hands across your chest like this. And I will put my hand on the back of the candidate's head, and I'll usually put a handkerchief in this hand and across their nose and mouth. And I'll tell the candidate, this is what I'm going to say. In obedience to the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know that's scriptural, right? Because he gave the command. In obedience to the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your profession of faith. You see, the Bible teaches us that each one of us is to make a profession of our faith. There's no secret agents in God's work. We make a public profession of our faith. And those commands were given at a time that your life would be in danger for you to make a public profession of your faith, that you profess publicly that you have taken Jesus as your Savior. And so, upon your public profession of your faith, that is, that you have been saved, that you've been born again, that you have asked Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. You've received his forgiveness. Upon your public profession of your faith, I baptize you, my brother or sister. Now there's that word again, baptism. I completely immerse you. I completely immerse you. I baptize you. I plunge you under. Some translations would say, I plunge you under. It is enveloping something inside something else. And until they're completely immersed in that. They're just completely immersed in that water. And I will tell them, because I'm a bigger guy now than I used to be, but I didn't grow any. I just went out this other direction. But because sometimes the ones that I baptize are quite a bit bigger than me, and I will say, now, the water's going to make you buoyant, and I can do this, so don't you worry. I had one guy that was about 6'6". And he was just so much bigger than me. I just looked like a little old kid standing by him. But he said, preacher, if you want me to, I'll get on my knees. I said, you know, there's a lot of things I can't do. I'm a terrible carpenter. There are just so many things that I can't do. It's unnumberable. But I said, I'm a professional baptizer. I've been baptizing folks for 50 years. And I can baptize you if you will follow my instructions. And so I'd say, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because that's the mode of baptism. It's what Jesus told us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them, immersing them, baptizing them, engulfing them in the water. Completely and absolutely baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but I'm just telling you, folks, if you hadn't been baptized that way, you hadn't been baptized. You've just been ducked. They dunked. Excuse me. There's a difference, isn't there, in a duck and a dunk. And then I'll say to the candidate, when we come to this part, I'm going to ask you to bend your knees just a little bit and go down with me. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I'll have my hand over their mouth and on the back of their head. In the likeness. Or did you get it? In the likeness. In the likeness of His death. Here we go. I'll whisper in their ear. Here we go. Burial. Bend your knees. Burial. All the way under the water. Burial. A watery grave. Buried with Him by baptism, the Bible says. Buried with Him by baptism. Totally immersed in the water. Totally covered with the water. Buried with Him by baptism. In the likeness of His death. Burial. Resurrection! Woo! It's a good day! It's a good day! Resurrection! The resurrection day! He's risen from the grave, and so everything is different. Everything is different. He's conquered death. He's conquered hell. He's conquered sin, and your sin and my sin is forgiven. Woo! Church, that ought to get us on our feet. I'm telling you, this is good news. It's good news. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's good news. So now I want you to, with that on your mind, I want you to think about the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is that you are completely immersed in the Spirit. You're completely immersed in the Spirit. The Spirit is in control. I like what Rex Brookhart said about the Holy Spirit. He said, when Christ came and died on the cross for our sin, He was buried, He rose from the dead. For 40 days, you know, He walked about, seen by all these people. And then He met His disciples out on a hill. And He was taken up. The Bible says that a cloud received Him up. I kind of feel like that was people, but it may not have been. But a cloud received Him up, and there was two messengers from God standing there. As they were watching, the messenger said, why are you? I'm not still quoting Rex, by the way. I'm just getting around to what he said. Why are you looking up into heaven? Why are you gazing? Why has that got you caught? Because He's coming back. Did you get it? He is. He's coming back. When everything gets in the place where He wants it, when He has decided the day, the Father has decided the day, He's coming again. But Rex said, until that time, the Holy Spirit is the man of the hour. Boy, that caught my attention. He's the man of the hour. He is the one that is controlling us and working through us. So I want you to grab hold of this doctrine. I want you to grab hold of this idea. And so, are you saying, Brother Lanny, that every one of us has got the baptism of the Spirit? Well, every one of us has all of the Holy Spirit. I believe the fullness comes when he gets all of us. I'm not sure he has all of us. Maybe I should say, I'm not sure he has all of me. I know I have all of him. I'm not sure he has all of me. It is a place of my surrender to him that he might use me. He's always there. He's always speaking. He's always working. He is drawing things. He's just always at work. I'm going to tell you this again. Sharon, can I embarrass you again? Is that all right? Just have at it, huh? Okay. A few Sundays ago, at the end of the service, Sharon came and said, I need to talk to you. And we sat down over there and talked. And she said, I want to join the church. I want to know what I need to do. And I said, well, the first thing you need to do is receive Christ as your Savior. You need to. She said, I've done that. And I said, when did you do that? And she said, just a few minutes ago, sitting back over there in that pew. Isn't that good? That's good stuff. I'm going to tell you something also good. The following week, was it the following week that your husband came and talked to me? Yeah. I was in my office and Betty stuck her head in the door and said, are you expecting someone? I said, no. And she said, well, somebody's coming to the door. Anyway, let them in, and there's a young man called me and asked me if he could park his semi down by the pavilion. And while he was in, he's an over-the-road driver, and we gave him permission to do that. Anyway, he came into my office, and he said, I just want to thank you for allowing me to park my truck down there. And he told me who he was, and I'd met him some years ago. We sat down in the office and visited a little bit, and I said, well, did your wife tell you what happened to her? He said, yes. And he bragged on you a whole lot, Sharon, about your life. And we talked a little bit, and I asked him about his own relationship with Christ. And he said, I'm not a Christian. He said, I'm not against it. I'm just not a Christian. Now, I'm telling you this to talk about that the Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work. And so I asked him if I could share some scripture with him. He said, sure. So I got my Bible, and we both sat down there behind the coffee table, and I went through the Roman road. Everybody's sin comes short of the glory of God. Did you know that? That's true, isn't it? Every one of us. You know what sin is, right? All of you do. Sin's missing the mark. Every one of us has missed the mark. Man, Paul said, put me at the end of the list. I mean, I've missed it. I've missed the mark. Still miss it. But all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And in order for me to be saved, if this is the glory of God, and I've missed it, and if I have to be here in order to go to heaven, the Bible says I've missed it. I've missed the mark. So something has to bring me from this point here to this point here. You know what that is? It's the cross of Christ. It's the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. It's the shedding of his innocent blood in order for me to come from this point here to this point here. And then we went on through Romans and got to Romans 10, 9, 13. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad you're a whosoever? I mean, that's all inclusive. That's everyone. Whoever, just whoever, whosoever shall call. See, there's a part on us. It's the call. It's us calling. It's us looking to him and asking him to save our soul. That's our part in salvation. We can't work. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's our part in this is our calling. We have to call. We have to ask him to come into our heart. I talk to so many people that'll say, well, I'm a good person, really. I've never met any. But some folks think that they're good enough to go to heaven. I'm planning on my good deeds outweighing my bad deeds. Are you kidding me? Anyway, I told Kevin. I told Kevin this little story. I said, let's say you were in your travel trailer and you looked out the window and you saw someone coming toward your door. And you recognize that person as Jesus. And you know he's going to knock. He's going to knock on your door. And he wants in. But I'm telling you, he wants in your life. Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, any man. That's generic. That means any man, boy, girl, whoever. If any man will hear my voice and open the door unto me, I will come in and sup with him. The King James uses the word, I will sup with him and he with me. Take supper with him, eat with him. I'll be his guest. I'll be in his house. Some translation says I'll come in and be his friend. He'll be mine. A personal relationship. So I read that verse from Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door unto me, I'll come in, sup with him, and he with me. And I said, so if you were in your travel trailer and Jesus knocked on your door, I said, what would you do? Why, he smiled a little bit, and he said, well, of course, I'd let him in. And I said, isn't he knocking on your door right now? And he said, yeah. I said, you ready to let him in? He said, I'm ready. I said, let's get on our knees here and let's make this official that you now invite Jesus into your heart. And we prayed together and he prayed the sinner's prayer and asked Jesus to forgive him of his sin and come into his heart and be a Savior. We've got a baptism scheduled for the 13th of September, and we're going to baptize Sharon and her husband at the same time. Well, not at the same time, one of them and then the other one. That's the introduction. Are you clear on the Holy Spirit? Are you clear on the baptism of the Spirit? What happens when the Holy Spirit takes possession of us? when he fills us and anoints us for the work that he has for us. He's always at work. Jesus said, my Father's always at work. There's always this drawing. And in your life right now, if you're not a Christian, there's a drawing in your life right now for you to become a Christian. You felt it. You know it. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day. Harden not your heart. Because the more he knocks, the more callous our heart gets. I don't think that he ceases knocking. I think that what happens, people cease to be able to hear his knocking. I think he keeps on knocking. In Acts, the second chapter, if you'll turn to that with me in your Bible and look to verse 12, let's stand together finally. I gave you a little sitting time there, and now you're ready to stand. Look at verse 12. Now, you know the story. Prior to this, the Holy Spirit has come. These folks have come, and they have... the Holy Spirit has come, and this great event of Pentecost has taken place. Verse 12 says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, and this is what Joel said, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Let me tell you what the last days is. The last days is from the cross until Jesus returns. Some believe that the last days, I need to include the tribulation period. But from the cross until the glorious appearing, if you want to put it that way. But it's from the cross and sure until now, it's the last days. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit. There you got it. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Now, I don't think that that's happened yet, but it's going to happen. And the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And I think that here he is making reference to the glorious appearing. And it shall come to pass. This is a good verse. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may be seated. I want us to see in these first few verses, 12 and 13, that the people of the world do not understand things of the Spirit. And until the Spirit is in them, they will not understand the Spirit. And you and I cannot understand the Scripture unless the Spirit teach us the Scripture. What John 3:16 means to you and what it means to a lost person is not the same. It's a lost person looks at that and, for God so loved the world, and a lot of lost people can quote that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was visiting a guy once, and he knew that verse. He is a lost man, and he knew that verse. And he says, that just means that they should be, but they might not be, right? That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord should be saved. And I said, well, it literally means that if they'll call on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. Well, I don't believe that, he said. I want us to look at how the world was looking at what took place at Pentecost. Verse 12 says they were all amazed. They become astonished. Some translation says they were all beside themselves. They were astonished at what was going on. There was this astonishment because of what was taking place, because men were being able to hear the gospel in their own tongue by men that did not speak their language. Verse 12, some were in doubt. The word doubt here means to be confused or perplexed. It's not so much unbelief. It is just, they were perplexed. They were confused about what was going on. I don't know how for us to change this or do better, but I realize that perhaps when folks come to church for the first time, that this is all pretty confusing. And I know that I'm sure that I, other than speak hillbilly, I speak a lot of churchy language because that's all I know. And perhaps that's real confusing to the lost person. They don't understand why that is going on. We used to pick up a young lady on the van years ago on the green bean, Max. And she loved children's church, but boy, she did not like big church. She wanted to know, you know, would she be able to go to children's church? And I don't know what brought it up, but at some point she had come to big church. And she said, if I can't go to children's church, then I'm not going to come. And I said, why? And she said, I don't like it. I said, what do you not like about it? She said, I don't like all that yelling you do. She said, why do you do that anyway? I don't know. It just seemed like a thing to do. She didn't understand. She didn't get hold of what was going on. And perhaps there needs to be some kind of way that we are able to translate into people's lives that are not Christians, who are lost, who've never been to church and don't know anything about what is going on, that we need to be able to translate into their lives. This is what that means. Verse 13, and this is what the world is going to do. The Bible says, and some mocked, others mocking. They made fun of the believers. You know, even when I was lost, I would have not made fun of believers. I was too scared to. But we live in a day that it's common for people to make fun of Christianity, to make fun of believers. I witnessed to a guy just in the last couple of weeks that laughed at me. He said, I don't mean to laugh. He said, that's just so silly. What you believe is so silly. Others mocking, made fun of the believers. Now, let me just find a place to quit here, and then we'll take up here tonight at 6. But Peter's explanation of what was going on was that this is a fulfillment of Scripture. This is what the Word of God has told us is going to take place. Now, I want you to think about old Peter for a little bit. Rough and rugged. He's a fisherman. He's a man that ran his own company. He's a man that had worked hard at that. You know, I'm so used to that, that don't bother me, but I know that it is bothering y'all. She got something in her mouth now, and maybe she'll... I'm not sure she likes the hollering either. When God got a hold of Peter and the Holy Spirit filled him, he is different, right? I mean, think about it. He preached a little short sermon. 3,000 people were saved. You're talking about power. Power, and that meant absolutely a change from people coming from Judaism into Christianity. You talking about a change. I mean, it would just, I mean, a total change, a total lifestyle change for these people. And yet, because of the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, they said, this is right. What you're saying is right. What you've said is right. They knew it was right because of the impression of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I'm going to stop right here, Mike, and we're going to give an invitation for folks to accept Christ as their Savior. Rod, you come up here and help us, will you? And what we're doing is trying not to be churchy, okay? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You've listened to the gospel this morning. The very best that I know of made a thorough explanation of what it takes for a person to be saved. Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If Jesus were to come back today, are you ready to meet Him? If you were to die today, are you ready to meet Him? What I'm going to ask you to do is step out from where you're at. Either come to me or come to Roger. Roger, he can tell you about Jesus. You're here today and you are a Christian already. And you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And when I was talking about baptism, the Spirit spoke to your heart and said, I need to do that. I've received Christ as my Savior, but I need to make it public and I need to follow Him in believer's baptism. I'm going to ask you to come here in just a second when we stand together. Or perhaps you're a Christian, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and you'd like to become a part of this fellowship. You'd like to join this church. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that too. You just come to me or come to Roger. Roger can tell you what to do. I want to lead you in sinner's prayer. If you are here today and you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, would you follow me in this prayer? And I want to give you enough time to say it, at least in your mind. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Be my Savior right now. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. And I receive you as my Savior right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you prayed that prayer or if you have another need, I'm going to ask you to come right now. Make that decision for Christ.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I
right now, this would be a good time for you to do it. No better time. The Spirit dealing with your heart. The Lord working on your heart. Great time for you to make a decision for Christ.
All to Thee.